Welcome to the Swirl and Sip podcast, where we keep it real, talking about womanhood, parenthood, and marriage. I'm your host, Sasha.
And I'm Sheree. And if this is your first time tuning in to us, this is what you need to know about us. We're wives, we're boy moms, and we love wine, though we're not experts. This is Life Uncensored.
So get your wine glasses and your favorite bottle and get ready for today's episode. So, of course, we always like to start each episode with what we are sipping on, and we have made our way back around to another Black Girl Magic brand wine. Y'all know last month we had the Red Blend, and we're super excited to try another one of their brands or another one of their wines because the Red Blend was really good.
Red Blend was amazing. Like, just...
We actually, like, punished the bottle at wine night, so... it got drunk right away. We are drinking on today. We're drinking their rosé. And I want to say I talked a lot about their background story to the McBride sisters when we introduced their wines back in August. But I if I'm remembering right in that how I built this episode, I think the rosé was one of their first. One of the first ones under Black Girl Magic. Like, that was one of the first ones that they came out with.
I feel like it could have been, but I don't know.
I think it was. I'm almost positive it was, only because it was, like, at the Essence Festival, and it just seems like a very rosé type thing. Like, that's where they launched the
Black Girl Magic. I like how you say that's a very rosé type thing, though. Oh, my gosh.
Is it not? Is it not, though?
I mean, yeah, but I just I didn't say you were wrong. I was just like, what? But no, I actually think that would be
the place to launch a rosé. Like,
you go launch a rosé. That's definitely.
If you were
going to
launch a Black Girl Magic rosé, then I feel like it would be at the Essence Festival. Like, that's
That's like the ultimate brunch.
Exactly.
You're right.
So thoughts, Troy?
It's a rosé. So here's my thing. Let's be clear. We don't exactly enjoy rosés, so like that's the preface for anything. I mean, it tastes like a rosé. It actually doesn't taste as sweet as some rosés have been. You know how some rosés have that like real sweet tang, just got some fruit notes, but overall it's just like it's a rosé. It tastes good, it's easy to drink. It's 13.5%.
Of course. I mean, we already established at the beginning of the season all of the wines this season are Sasha and Sheree approved. At 13.5, at least 13.5.
What do they say what their notes are? That's what I want to know.
So it says that, of course, they say for us, rosé is all year round, which typically, I mean, most rosés, you'll hear that they're summer wines. So I tend to think of rosés as summer wines. But it says that it's a sophisticated dry rosé that has aromas of raspberry, orange blossoms with a delightful acidity. Mouth-watering fresh stone fruits, which Sheree loves, and a citrus palate. It's gorgeous, bright, and a fresh wine that pairs perfectly with chocolate-covered strawberries, grilled fish dishes, and your holiday feast. It drinks well as you're cozied up on the couch or at your summer pool party. And it's a versatile wine for all occasions. So that's how
I taste all the tart. All that citrus that you said, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, do you feel like you taste the stone fruit?
Not really.
And you love you some stone fruit too.
So you remember that grapefruit thing that we had?
Yes. Okay. The grapefruit that Cyrus brought?
So you remember that one tasted like grapefruit sugar.
Yeah.
This is like take the grapefruit out of there, put it in here, and it's like I'm drinking it tastes like grapefruit. It's fine.
It's a dry rosé.
It's a rosé. It's fine. It's I will support it no matter what because Black Girl Magic. I will buy every single one of their wines.
Yeah, so that's what we established back in August when we were drinking their brand to begin with. We were excited that despite us fully supporting Black Girl Magic brand, we were like, I hope this wine is good.
And it was. It was so good. We were like, so we were bouncing out of our jacket. Like, it was a dance.
Yeah, like, we was like, but oh, this one,
this one is a rosé. I mean, I'm not a fan of rosés in general, but we did say we were mixing it up for the season, and we have been
mixing it up this season. So, you're not going to hear us say anything bad about Black Girl Magic anything. So Black Girl Magic, the McBride sisters, they also have, in case you didn't know, like they actually have wine too that is under the McBride sisters brand that is not Black Girl Magic. Like it's Black Girl Magic is underneath the McBride sisters.
McBride sisters, yeah.
So if y'all are looking for, of course, some wine to try, Black Girl Magic.
It don't matter. Like I said, and just to let you know, once again, we know they are premium, as we've now figured out from the first one, because they are priced.
A premium.
So I was like, Jesus.
They are a premium brand wine.
They pride themselves on being premium. So I will give them the credit that they have not yet had a nasty wine where I was just like, you know what?
That was in their story too. Like, really, just go listen to this episode on how I built this, because it's actually a two-parter, which is very rare for that podcast. But they did a two-part. And like they said, when they first started their winery, their wine business, they were in like 5-star restaurants in California, like real posh, that had like their own sommeliers in house and stuff like that to try to get their brands in. So they started off at that level. They never wanted to be a lower level.
Because we can be at that level. Why start at the bottom when you can start at the top? Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just had to throw that out there. It spoke to me. I love it.
So, of course, this episode is coming out in future podcast time. It is September 1st. We have jumped all the way forward through summer, and it is now September. Mind you, by the way, we are filming this at the end of May. So, just so y'all know how it works in real time.
And we're
now it's September. It, as you know, September means for a lot of families, a lot of moms, we are in the thick of back to school time. My son will be starting school or preschool for his first time ever, like real preschool. He'll be with other kids this year, not just at home. Yeah,
mine will actually be with kids again. Like, he was in kids online, but he'll be actually in person.
Yeah, so Stokely's starting in person. And then if you didn't know, September 6th is actually National Read a Book Day. And so when we were planning out the schedule for season 3, we wanted to do something that was really around like education and around like teaching our kids, and especially like teaching, you know, kids of color, because it's already an uneven playing field when it comes to like how we teach our children in schools and things like that. So we do have a guest today, and I'm going to read her bio to you guys. So today we have on author, educator, blogger, podcaster. Sounds like all of like, I just need to add author to my shit, and then I'll have like all the commas too. And she's a lover of all things books. DM Whitaker, also known as DaQuisha, that's what we'll be calling her today. She has spent 10 years educating children and youth inside and outside the classroom as a former social service worker and a teacher. She says that teaching children to be their best selves through social and functional skill enrichment, affirmations, and genuine love has always been her passion. It wasn't until she became a stay-at-home mother that she embraced her longtime love of storytelling and began writing stories that would help parents, teachers, and caregivers teach their children in fun, educational, and creative ways. She's been married to her husband, Brandon. Oh, look, another Brandon. And they have two boys, Deuce, who's 4, and Alicia, who's 1. I didn't say that right. Did I say that?
Elisha.
I was like, that Alicia's a girl's name. Elisha, who's 1, and they currently reside in Nebraska. Whew, girl, is it cold?
Yes, it is. It's about 65 degrees.
I mean, it's not warm here today. It will be this week, but
like, we're generally in the 80s and 90s right now. You said 65.
65. Like, I'm born and raised here in Nebraska, and we just moved back from Texas like 6 months ago. Well, last year, in a sense. And so it's been a shock for me. Like, I wasn't born and raised here. And my son, he was only here for like 6 months before we moved. And so he's just like, what is this coat? Like, why am I wearing a coat?
Oh, poor baby. He over here like, what did y'all do?
I have a very ignorant question because I'm unfamiliar with the geographical or demographical makeup of a place like Nebraska.
Smack dab in the middle, literally.
When I think of Nebraska, I just think of like flatlands and whole slew of white people. Is it like diverse out there at
it
all?
It is. Like, we got hoods. we got everybody. We got Mexicans, blacks, whites, everybody, Africans, you name it. It's so diverse. Like, interesting. It is the drama, like the safety issues, like it's here. But I mean, we have, you know, a lot of like, people don't know this, and they are really surprised, but if you look up the best zoo in the United States of America, it's here in Nebraska.
Really?
Yes. Yes. And so, like, I mean, we have the College World Series is played here. So yeah, like we out here, we don't have a pro team, you know, but we have college teams.
We're in that area where sports is like
we hold on to it. But yeah, Gabrielle Union, she's a big Nebraska fan because this is where her family is, so people know us from that and they come and visit. Yeah, we got college basketball, but yeah, no pro team. So people be like, what? Where y'all from? Like, yeah, we here.
That I was like, I know nothing. I know. I got East Coast.
Sasha
now.
Has frequently said that. Sasha has frequently said, well, I want to visit every state. Sasha has firmly been like, there's certain states that I just have no desire. I was like, I have a desire to at least hit all states. And she was just like, no. That would be one of them.
North Dakota? North Dakota? No
the
reason.
Dakotas, period, yeah.
Yeah, neither one. Actually, North Dakota or South. No reason. No reason. That's
I want to go everywhere.
And before we get into, this is totally off topic, but before we get into our topic today, when my husband and I came back for our vacation, we had a layover in St. Louis. And this is my ignorance of the map of the United States. I thought that we were like by the lakes up top, like in Michigan or some shit like that. Because I knew we were in an M state. I knew it was an M state. But I forgot where St. Louis was. And so
you thought you was in Michigan?
I thought we was up further. And so
it has to be Michigan, yeah.
I was like, it's an M state. The first one that came to mind was Michigan. And then I was like, wait, St. Louis is Missouri. And then I was like, where the hell is Missouri? I was like, where are we? I had to like put it up on a map.
I think we're like 5 hours from St. Louis. You know, Kansas City.
So you know that little like that meme of the dog that just shaking their head. We literally
were sitting at the airport bar, and I'm like pulling up a Google map, like where the hell is Missouri? Like I couldn't even place where Missouri was on a map.
So
like
I was the just reason like, that I'm familiar with Missouri is because my cousin, I have family that was in the military, and they were there. And so that was my introduction. And so it's like one of those things that I always remember because they would live there for a nice portion of like that time. And then they came back home. So I was like, Missouri. Yes.
And my husband, he's from Chicago. So he's super annoying. He always asks people that we meet, that he meets here. So what brought you to Nebraska? Why are you here?
You know what? He's a troll. That's a troll move. It's the name Brandon. They're all trolls. I'm married to a Brandon too. He's a troll. That's what he prides himself on. It's not a bad thing. He just is.
I'm like, you know what? I'm really interested. Yeah. Are you really?
I really want to know. Do you really want to know? You don't.
But let's get into what we wanted to talk about today. That's the reason why you're here. We wanted to talk about, you are an educator, and with our kids going back to school and things like that. I know for me, when I was doing Stokely's, when we did preschool at home this past year, it's really important for me personally, just because of how I grew up and how I am, to like foster this love of learning. Yes. And for it to like grow with him. Like right now, of course, he's only three, but right now he like loves doing school, and he like loves and he just soaks it all in. Like you can tell him, I think he like right now dinosaurs are his thing, and he is like learning all of them, like all of the names. You only gotta tell him like one time, we look it up and you tell him one time and he immediately remembers what it is. And he's like, right on, this one is this dinosaur and this one is this dinosaur. And so like I want to keep that going with him. And it's like, how do you like when it comes to younger kids too, like how do you figure out what their learning style is and like trying to teach them the best way? Because I think that's, as they start getting into school, of course, most school is, you're only taught one way, which might not necessarily work with
be the best way.
Learns. Yeah. So how do you?
It usually kills learning more than it does foster it.
That, all of that.
So how do you like figure out what your child's learning style is and then help them with that, like inside and outside of school, because they're probably not learning in their best way.
And that's true. So I have a 4-year-old and he's obsessed with dinosaurs. Obsessed. The same thing with your boy with Stokely. It's just, it's amazing to see how they literally can learn a dinosaur and like they'll just point it out and
it's like how do you,
and the name,
it's like, how do you remember this? Like, where do you store this information?
Five syllable names.
We learned a new one yesterday. It's a plesiosaur. it's the swimming one with a long tail. Never knew what that one's called, but now he knows it. Like,
so I think that as moms, like, there are learning quizzes that are out there that are really great. There's this one that I did with my husband, which is funny. I did it myself, and then I had my husband do it. And he was like, yeah, you're probably more accurate, because I'm at home with my son, with both of my boys, because I homeschool them. And so it's called the Learning Style Quiz, and it's on homeschoolmom.com. And I encourage, you know, moms to take this quiz. You can take it with your spouse, or if you're homeschooling and you know your child, take it with them. And just kind of answer those questions. It's like 10 questions to help you kind of identify what they are. And then you can be like, that's close, but not quite. But what I like about the quiz is that it gives you ways to teach to your child that meets their learning style. And so taking that quiz is a great option. But also, I like to dibble and dabble in everything. So you don't know if they're an auditory learner. Pick a topic that you're learning. Maybe you're learning about dinosaurs, and maybe you watch a video for a visual learner to see how they, you know, retain that information. Maybe they listen to a song that sings about dinosaurs and learning new names, and they catch on to that. Or maybe it's that hands-on kinesthetic, you know, learning where they're doing those, you know, projects and things like that. And they're maybe project-based learners. So just kind of play around with all the learning styles and see which one they gravitate to the most.
I think that's it's hard for me to even, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm trying to figure out which one would I say Stokely is. But when they're this age, it's kind of it's all of that stuff in one. So it's hard to figure out, okay, does he like visuals more, or is it more project, or?
I can tell you right now that Brendan is probably more of a kinesthetic learner. And because he likes to do things, he loves to, he's a person who, he likes to cook we cooking. So he's going to tell me what to do, and he's going to do it. And reading the book, he's going to act it out. Single thing is him acting it. I'm like, we watching TV. He's learning it, and he will repeat it.
That's not Stokely. Stokely is very Stokely is like when we read him books.
I think my Stokely's son, auditory / visual.
I feel he that might be it, because we read him books and he will memorize the books. And he'll read them, quote unquote, back to us.
That's that auditory. Yeah.
And that makes more sense, because I feel like you only have to tell him something one or two times before he's like, okay, I got it. Instantly.
That's where Brendan being stubborn, he's the same way. He'll read a book. That's why he will read a book, memorize it, and be able to read it back to me. But then he's stubborn, and that's his personality, where he just don't want to listen. So I'm like, I know you know. So if I ask him, what did I say, or recall something, he's like, you said this, and I'm like, okay, so he does know what I said. Okay, cool. That's awesome to know, though.
It's sad, because when they go to school, they're not, especially sometimes teachers teach out of their own, learning styles. So it's important that, we pick up the slack and say, okay, I know that if they're struggling in this area at school, then I know that I need to teach them, and we need to do homework this way, because when you got 25, 30 kids, these teachers aren't teaching to these kids learning style.
And there's no way they can't. They physically can't do it for all of the ways that kids learn. So I do get that. On the one hand, I'm not bashing teachers. I don't know how y'all do what the hell y'all do, because I can never sit in front of a classroom, and no matter how old or young they are, that's not going to be for me. So I commend y'all for doing it. But at the same time, on the parent side of it, we want our kids to learn the best way they learn. And I think, like Sheree mentioned earlier, when they're not being able to take in information the way that they learn, that's when they start to hate learning. When they start hating school.
Or acting out, or doing something where now you're getting called home and you're like, they're probably bored. I remember I was bored in school.
So they're bored, they're shutting down.
I was bored.
So that kind of goes as your kids get older, then how do you help prepare them to be, I don't want to say a good student, but into learning and making sure that they're, able to study more? Because I was the type of kid who I didn't have to study. I was And maybe, I guess I must be an auditory learner now that I think about this. I don't know. Now I feel like I got to take this quiz for myself because I don't even know what kind of learning style I have. Because I was always the type that in school, if, you know, as long as I paid attention during whatever the subject was, and I would take notes, but I never like had to look back at them. It kind of was just like, once I kind of heard it, I could just like, it was there.
That's my, so Sasha, me and you are the same. If I was in class, if I'm listening to it and I'm writing down the slides, and I'm talking about just writing the slides, I wrote the slides, I listened, I could take the quiz.
Yeah, I never had to like refer back to it. Because I think what for me, the way I've always kind of explained it, like in my mind, I would see where I wrote it down.
Yes.
And I wouldn't have to go back and look. I could just picture it.
I could see the slide. I could see myself in the class listening to this. Look, this is the book. I learned every piece of the ear, auditory system in psychology, and I got 100%. Those things that I learned, I was like, I don't even know how I remembered that, but it was the slides. And I'm like, I used to help other people learn because all I do is like study groups that like, you're doing really good. And I was like, all right, I could teach it to
I couldn't be in a study group because I was like, I don't need to study. I don't know what we're about to do here.
The thing is, I never was in there to study for myself. I was always there to help my friends who did not know the information. So I was just like, I definitely don't need this, but they would ask a question and I could explain what it is because I knew it. So I'd be like, nah, this is this. Da, 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 da. So I'm just sitting there to hang out with my friends and like help because they knew, they were like, you're getting hundreds. And like, why do you just getting straight A's? Like, did you study? And I was like,
I need to know what kind of learning style that is though. Is that auditory? Like,
But it can be both. It can be auditory and it can be visual, right? Yeah. Because if you're visually looking, like you said, you can visually remember seeing the notes or the slides.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's okay to have more than one. You're not probably going to have all of them, but mm-hmm. you'll definitely probably have at least two of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think for
your visual.
Yeah, all your visual. I think it starts early, you know, having your kids, you know, be prepared to just enjoy, you know, learning. It starts just having that structured learning time. Like my 4-year-old Deuce, he knows that, you know, you wake up, like school starts, you're going to be a Bible study, you're going to eat your breakfast, you're going to play mm-hmm. or watch a show, mm-hmm. but then we got school time. And my 1-year-old, he knows too. Like he sees his brother jump up to the table, he drops what he's doing, and he's sitting up there too, and he's only one.
Mm.
Like, and so having that, you know, those routines, I talk about that all the time. It's like, it is important to have those structured times and routines so that they know what to expect. There are no surprises. If, you know, they just figure out in first grade, they actually have to sit down and do work, like you fail them, because even if it's just them sitting down for 5 minutes or 10 minutes to, you know, go over flashcards or to sing learning songs, they need that structure because then they expect it.
That's a good point, because I was just about to ask that, like, what happens if you have like a kid, like in my case, Sophie never went to like daycare or anything like that before he started preschool. So he never had in a group setting that structured like, okay, kids, like first is nap time. But we are very structured with him. And so like, and when we were doing school at home, it was very much like, okay, Stuckley, like now it's school time. So, you know, we're going to do this. And then we did we had a Zoom Spanish teacher who did one-on-one lessons with him. So he was kind of used to like, okay, now is the time to focus. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't even think about that. Cause I know you probably do have kids who show up in preschool who've never like had to sit down and like focus for 5
long. Excuse me.
I was gonna say I was super surprised by Brendan this year with like online learning, because he was the only person on, there was 3 kids in his class and he's the only one online, the other two are in person. So like they were like, he can sit, and I said he was sitting focused and he likes things to be written down, like he will write everything she does, which makes me think that maybe he's not, as like you said, he's more than one style, because they'll be talking and doing videos and he's just got it, he's like, can I write this? Okay, I can do pen and paper, and he write every single word she is, and I was like, okay, that works. She's like, would you like to? She's like, she wrote the routine down because he was just like, he was frustrated one day and she was just like, okay, so we're going to write it down. And we wrote it down today. She's like, so what's next? And he's like, now it's time for the good morning. Okay, great. Like, I was like,
yeah. I mean, at that age, they need routine. They don't need any surprises.
Yes.
And that's why, that's how learning is fun, because not only are you providing structure and routine, but they know what to expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that kind of gets, because you talk about you homeschool your kids. And so my niece, she originally was in, she went to private school. She's 7. I think she's 7. She'll be turning 8 in 2 days, because this is September. she started off in private school, but then of course during COVID, they pulled her out of the school because it didn't make sense. I guess they didn't like pretty much the education that she would be getting for what they were paying for. And so they found a homeschool co-op type thing that they started doing instead. And so I don't know if she'll be continuing on with that going forward, but it is like that homeschool thing. And I have another friend, Brianna, you know, she homeschools all 3 of her kids now.
Uh-huh.
And from everything that I know about homeschooling, learning really only takes place for like 2 hours a day. Like
because they're not in the hallway, they're not standing in line waiting for everybody to use the bathroom. They're not transitioning to another class. They're not eating lunch. They're like, there's not, you know, all the circle time. It's a lot of you know,
fluff.
Fluff. Yes, that happens in the day with a kid, and you're just like, but how much time did you really learn? And it's literally only like 2 hours.
But so when you're homeschooling your kids though, how are you figuring out, or what are you doing outside of like the actual structured learning to you know, keep them interested or whatever the subject is? Because I always feel like homeschool kids, as much as I admire homeschooling, I know I don't have the stamina for it, but I do know like a lot of that learning takes place, like I've seen from when our friend Brianna does it.
She's
learning about like plants today, so we're gonna go walk outside and like find as many plants as we can, or you know, we're gonna go to this museum, or you know, and it's kind of more that type of learning. So how is it important, do you think it's important for parents whose kids go to traditional schools to be involved in what their kids are learning and like try to find things that we can do outside of school time to, you know, kind of make it stick more?
Yes. I like to call those sparks. Like, what sparks your child's interest, you know? So if it's the weekend or if it's in the evening, like finding those things that really like just, you know, set them on fire, and doing activities with them. If that's them, if they love arts and crafts and they've been learning about Malcolm X in school, then maybe you need to do a craft with them that talks about, you know, Malcolm X, you know. If it's dinosaurs, and you know, they need to do a craft with you about dinosaurs. Or like me and my son, like he loves to bake. Like he loves to bake, he loves to cook. So we bought the little cookie cutters that were dinosaurs. And so we were making these cookies, but we were also, you know, cutting them. Well, what kind of dinosaur is this? Well, how many cookies are Triceratops? Or, you know, so now we're counting, and then you're doing social studies, but you're counting, but you're also making it fun. And he's able to say, oh, I know this is flour, and I know that this word on this container says flour because we bake a lot. And I know that I need 2 tablespoons because we're talking about it. So it's like you're always learning.
And that's what I was going to say. Learning never stops.
It never stops. You just find what they love.
My mom, because I was really into baking. I still like to bake, but I was really into it as a kid. And that's how my mom like would teach me fractions, because she wasn't very good at math. But she was like, I know that you like to bake, so I'm going to try to teach you what fractions is and as it relates to baking. And to this day, it's how I know, like, okay, like, you know, 2/3 is this and 1/3 is that.
It works. So, yeah, I think you challenge the parent to find out what their kid loves and then use those weekends, use those evenings, you know, to really, you know, highlight those sparks for them.
So like, that's one of those things that I think of, like, Brendan likes to read everything. It's something that I have to remember because he will stop in the middle of it. Like, I had a shirt that said no rain, no rainbows. He looked up and he's like, mommy, your shirt says no rain, no rainbows. I said, You're right. Yep, that's exactly what that says. And he was like, okay, we'll be walking. Does that say stop? Yep, that says stop. That is correct. You know, S-T-O-P, stop. That is how you spell stop. Thank you. Like, I had to temper slow myself down.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, oh, Lord, you ain't going to stop reading shit. I just want you. Like, we're on a walk. I just want to get where I'm going. But no. But then I had to slow down and just be like, this is how he's learning. He's learning and applying what he's learning. So I'm like, okay, well, you know how to say words. And you know how to do things.
Because Sheree and I, we've been, I don't know if you still get it, Sheree, we still get ours.
KiwiCo? Yeah.
Yes. We get these boxes every month from KiwiCo. If y'all want a discount code, there's a link in my bio, creations_by_Sasha on Instagram. And it's on my website. But we get these KiwiCo boxes. And of course, they're meant to, you know, grow with the kids. And they have these projects in it. And Stokely is, you know, what I found is he isn't so much like he likes doing the boxes. He gets really excited when they come and he's like, okay, what's this box going to be about? And what are the projects for it? And things like that. And then he'll like, you know, we do one project and he will play with it forever. Like we got one Western box probably 6 months ago that had a horse in it. And that horse has now turned into a vacuum. Like it is like he uses it just as imagination wise for everything. But it makes me think now, like you've given me more ideas on how I can kind of one. I'm definitely going to go take this quiz, but also like take those boxes and kind of extend those activities more for him or do them in such a way, because like you were saying, like some kids might be more project-based kids, and I don't think that's him. Like, I think he likes doing the box. Like, he gets excited that, you know, oh, this is for him, and like, what are we making? Mm-hmm. But he's not really into like the, okay, like, let's sit down and make it, mommy. He's like, okay, you can do it, mommy, and then just give it to me, and I'll play with it. And so I think, now Brendan, I have to...
Brendan, we have to play with him. Brendan is play with me. That's how this is. So like he will do our box, like whichever one. I can't even remember the last one because I think we're like two boxes that we have in the store. We haven't done our last box. So he knows they come and he's like, it's my box. And I'm like, cool. I forget to do them often. So like I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, did we do? I was like, oh, we did these. We'll do one of the projects and he loves it. He'll keep it. I even have a box. I mean, I have a bag of all the things that he liked to do so that we can just keep going back to it. The ABC ones, the whatever. He loves the books that come with it. And I was like, okay, my child likes to read. And I'm like, it makes sense.
I mean, Stokely likes to read. If you have kids out there, this is general knowledge. I don't know if most people know this, but if you have kids who you think like to read or you want to foster a love of reading, because that was really important for me for Stokely, because I like to read. I wanted him to be able to like to read too. Amazon has book boxes that you can be on a subscription. You can get it once a month. I think we do ours every 3 months. For like $21, you get 5 books and it's your age level for your kid. And I think it goes up until they're 5 that they'll do this.
I just do the PG and DC because BG and DC both the library system where, you know, they just send you the bomb, a book a month. Like, so he
that's
gets what, a book.
You know, that's a Dolly Parton thing, right?
Like, that is.
Her, yeah. She,
I just
she
want
came
you to know I
that.
Love her for that because, but we've gotten so many books that I've wanted to buy because I have a list of books that I'm like, every time I see a book and I'm like, ooh, that's cool. And I'm like, oh, that one came in the mail. Well,
that's perfect.
That off the list.
Yeah, I love, as a former reading teacher, I was a middle school reading teacher, and I had so many kids, right? Seventh grade.
You know,
who hated reading.
Seventh grade, they hate reading. Like,
I mean, hated it. But, I mean, it was only because they never found the books that sparked their interest. So, as someone who loved to read, I was like, when I have kids, we reading and like, you're going to love it. And I don't know what else in life is going to happen, but you're loving reading. And so, it's one of those things.
You know how my husband got into reading? Cause he's like that. He hated reading because they were reading books that was boring as shit to him. He was like, I don't like this. Why do I have to read these books? I do not care about Shakespeare or whatever the hell they're teaching in school, they figured out that his family figured out that he loved sports. So they would give him sports magazines. He read them. He would read comic books cover to cover. That's how he got into engineering. That's actually what sparked his interest. He read Transformers and saw Transformers, and he wanted to build a robot. So he was just like, I'm going to be an engineer. Of course, his parents are engineers, but that's what I think. Interest.
I was going to say, and I think that goes into kind of what you were talking about, Daquisha. Like, if you see that your child really likes something, like, how do you get them, like, focusing on ways that in the best way that they learn in order to keep that love there? Because who would have thought that reading Marvel would have sparked an engineering love, like that now you want to build things and make things? Yeah. But that's ultimately what, Cyrus decided to go into because he was reading comics. And so, and I think, like, in my mind, it's like, okay, if I see that my kid really likes reading comics, and I feel like some parents would be like, oh, those aren't real books.
Yeah,
like,
those aren't real books.
Oh, they are. Yeah, like,
like taking that and saying, like, okay, well, I see you. Why do you really like maybe asking more questions about it. Like, well, why do you really like the comics? Like, is it, oh, because they're building stuff in it? Oh, cool. Well, why don't we, like, let's try to, like, build some shit together or something like that. Like,
or it's the picture. So you like things that, like, let's figure out what it is that you like.
Are you going to be an illustrator? Are you going to write your own comics later? Like, what does that look like?
Like, I think the other, like, on that same question of how to foster it, I want to ask, because we don't ever talk about older kids, but I'm thinking of my nephew who's 15 and grew up loving to draw, grew up loving to do, like, all the reading and everything like that. And now he's 15. He's like every other 15-year-old. He's unmotivated to do any damn thing. I mean, he likes to game. And I'm just like, what do you like? Like, I'm asking him those questions, those open-ended. What do you like? Like, I don't really care. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I really will never tell him what to do. But I was like, what do you like to do?
I think at that age, it's hard for them to, like, put their finger on it, because I work with high schoolers as well. Yeah. And it's hard for them to put their finger on it, which is why you have to be so present and cognizant of their actions. And like what are they doing? Like, what is the passive things that they're doing that you're noticing? What is their routines? Like, and for those things, it's like, hey, like, sometimes you can't do it. A 15-year-old, they may like gaming. Maybe you need to go find them a gaming mentor. Maybe you need to find them a gaming camp, you know, something like that. Where
I think we were trying to find him a coding class, because he said something about coding, and I said, so you want to do coding? You want to learn that?
At these community colleges?
Your auntie will pay for coding camp. What do you want?
That's how it works. And I think it just, if you start younger with them and just focusing on those, you can kind of foster those, you know, those career paths, those things that they love to do and that spark their attention and they want to continue to do when they're older. But it starts young and it just continues to blossom.
That makes a lot of sense.
I really like that, because I think that is a good point, Sheree. Like, we got young kids, so we don't really think about it. But, you know, I know that once they become teenagers, it's kind of like, well, what do
no
you
holds
like
ball.
Now?
And they're motivated by money. They're motivated by money.
Exactly.
And we're talking about them doing
that
things
is very
paths.
True.
Okay, well, let's show you what this person makes doing this job. You know, let's shadow this person. You know, let's, you know, do a little bit of research and kind of identify some people that you may see in your community that do this job. And let's go hang out with them. Let's talk to them. Like, make those investments and, you know, put those drops in those buckets.
I like that. I think that you're right. A lot of people are motivated by money.
Well, and I remember, I go back to, you know, my own childhood and with my mother. She was in the military, but she loves art. She's an artist. Like, she loves to paint and things like that. And I think she really tried to instill that in me, but she made sure that it wasn't like, she didn't just stick to what she liked to do with art. So when it came, I got to a point, I think when I was in middle school, maybe early high school, where I got really into, like, interior design. Like, I was convinced I was going to go to school to be an interior designer. And it must have been I was slightly old enough to start looking at colleges, because I remember her, like, getting me, like, brochures to see, like, what college would be like for interior designers. She took me to, we would go to model homes and walk around model homes just so I could kind of look and see, like, you know, colors and things like that. We'd watch a lot of HGTV, because that was, like, when HGTV first came out.
Oh, this makes sense. Y'all, I'm learning so much right now about Sasha because it explains. So I've never heard this story as long as I've known Sasha. So,
and she would ask her, she would say, if you asked her any of this, she would say, it probably started really young for me because they're in New York City, they have, I want to say it's not MoMA, but they have a museum there that has an exhibit of like a whole bunch of like Renaissance furniture, furnishings and things like that. And it goes to like different time periods. And apparently I was like fascinated by this exhibit. Like I would walk through it for like hours just looking at all the furniture and how like the different fabrics and things like that. And so she kind of just took that and like ran with it as I got
older. That's awesome. See, that's and whereas perfect. I have always been a reading, I came from a reading family. Like they're my mother, my father, my brother.
No, I came from a reading family.
No, like when I say reading family, I'm like, we loved learning. So there'd be, I had a book, my mother had a book, my brother had a magazine, and my dad had the newspaper. And we would be just sitting in the house reading. I read to this day. I read anything. If I'm sitting around, I'm going to read something. But that's what sparked my interest in learning. And that's why I'm in psychology. That's why I went to psychology. That's why I went to social work, because I was like, I love this reading and writing paper stuff. If you give me a time, like my questions always are why. So I was like, I want to know why things happen. And sure enough, like I'm the one who would, I'm the Googler. I'm the one who, if you say something, I'll be like, one second. And then I'm going down the rabbit hole because I went from this subject to this subject to this subject. And next thing you know, and I am the random fact person. Like I should be on, I'm the Jeopardy person.
I'm the person should listen to a podcast. Stuff you should know. It's a podcast literally every week. It's random knowledge. Like, and look,
I still, to this day, remember Brandon. This was how random my facts are, how things are. We were driving on BW Parkway. I looked over, see a deer, and I said, oh, look, it's a teenage deer. Brandon was like, what the fuck do you mean?
It's a teenage deer.
He's like, what is that? I said, it's a teenage deer because his horns are fuzzy and they go from a fuzzy. I said, they go from no to fuzz to then like they get soft. He's like, where the hell do you know that? And I said, one second, let me just show you. And I showed him the stage. And he said, why do you even know that? It's useless knowledge for me.
But it still keeps, I'm the same as you, Sheree. Like, I love to learn. So I'm always just like Googling random stuff.
Yes.
And I will fall down a rabbit hole quickly. But like, if you had to tell, especially for those of us with younger kids who, in Sheree and I's case, it's important for both of us to want our kids clearly to like random knowledge and to have a love of learning as they get older.
You never know what's going to come in. Maybe
you see a crocodile and it's really alligator and now you know which one, like how you hit them and shit like that. Like that's what I always think of, stuff like that.
Because I was too old when I realized the difference. I'm just saying.
But like, so if it's like for parents like us who really want to foster like this love of learning and keep it going in our kids as they get older, if you had kind of like one like key point that, or something really that we should focus on the most, or not the most, but like something for us really to like just take away from how to instill that in our kids.
I would say that once you identify their learning style, commit to doing one to two things a week that focuses around that style of learning. And that can be where you're doing a review of what they've learned that week, or it's something that they've been struggling with in school. Take that time once or twice a week just to say, okay, how can I connect this to their love of building? Or how can I connect this to their love of reading and do that? You know, that I think is how you will help them to understand the importance of learning, but how we can learn in the ways that help us and that make us feel happy and what bring us joy.
Now I'm gonna my type A personality is gonna be like, oh, she's gonna schedule it twice a week. This is what we're doing.
You're gonna schedule it. I'm over here like Sasha Nana and put something on a damn schedule. Me, I'm over here like I'm trying to think of where I've already done it because I feel like that's great advice. And I'm the person who I'm like, where have I already been doing that?
Because I
think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And where can I just
you don't even realize that you're doing it.
And yeah, if you are doing it, just being more intentional about it and yeah. you know, bringing that, you know, up front to them. And just to throw one in there, we read 5 books a day because we're working on vocabulary. Okay. And the child who reads 5 books a day's vocabulary by the time they get to school age will be twice as greater than someone who just started reading when they got to school. So whether that's nap time, you read a book, bedtime, you read a book, and 3 books throughout the day, or you read 5 books and nap time, read 5 books a day.
Okay.
Well, we definitely doing that because Stokely,
we definitely do.
We gotta read like 3 or 4 in succession. So.
Yes.
I was going to say, we'll definitely read 3 books a day. I mean, I think that he'll read 1 book 5 times a day. So yeah. I'm like, I gotta vary it up for him. Like, sweetie.
You vary it up so they can, you know, they see different words. And, you know, when you're talking about it and you're saying, what was your favorite part? Or
I make sure to do that because Stokely had, I do these book boxes from Amazon. We have a shit ton of books. And of course, you know, kids will always gravitate towards the ones that they're used to, like, you know, the same ones. So I always make sure to kind of like rotate them and I'll hide some and okay, well, let's just pick from these over here. Let's pick a different book today.
Right. I say mommy picks 2 and you pick 3.
That's what I'm gonna have to try because Brendan will pick a new book randomly and I'll be like, yes, or I'll just say, you know what, we're giving this book a break. This book needs a rest. You know this book. So what's a new book? Go find another. And I'm like, you have a bookshelf full of books. Mm-hmm. A bookshelf full of books. Find one more.
Most definitely.
I like that. And I guess too, because I'll just, before we wrap it up, you also write books, yeah?
Yes, yes. So
pitch your stuff.
Been a joy for me. Being a stay-at-home mom is like, I went to school, I got my undergraduate in English and creative writing, then I got a master's in curriculum instruction. But then I became a teacher. I did truancy work with high school kids. So I worked in a group home facility with at-risk kids. So I just never got back to my love of writing. Like I dropped it when I graduated and then I let it go. But then when I became a stay-at-home mom and you're reading to your kids and I'm just like, I don't like how they wrote that. And so I started writing stories. And my first story that I wrote was about my son and his love of brushing his teeth at 1 year old. I'm like, I have friends who are complaining that their kids hate brushing their teeth, but he loves brushing his teeth. So I wrote Brush Your Teeth, Brandon's Song for Healthy Teeth. And it's a song that I sang to him while he brushes his teeth and he just loves it. And so he had no problem brushing his teeth morning and night. And now that he's 4, he's teaching his little brother, Elisha, who one of his first words were the song. And that blew me away because I'm like, Deuce, he didn't really start really having conversations and talking. He's like 2 and you're 1. And so because he's just learning from him and he's soaking everything up. And then after that, I wrote a book because my son, he hates nap time. He hates bedtime. So what does he like to do? Mm-hmm. He likes to tell stories. And so he starts telling me these elaborate stories, popcorn stories. And it's like, you say a part and then I'll say a part. And then I'm like, well, hold on a minute now. This is starting to make some real good sense.
Yeah. And so
we have co-authored a series, you guys. And is this the scary dinosaur.
Yeah.
These are his stories, you guys. We have
I love it.
And so the social service teacher in me has to put a lesson in it. So we have accepting differences and making new friends. We have sharing and taking turns. And later next year, we'll have apologizing. And these are social skills that we're learning with animals that he's created.
I'm getting this.
I was going to say, I'm getting this.
Because he's obsessed with dinosaurs. I don't know where the stunt came from. I was like,
I'm over here looking at it. I was like, I love it.
And then I also have a potty training book, and those are focused on.
I saw those too.
Affirming. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's affirming our boys and girls when they're potty training. And as someone who has a son who is potty trained, but he was scared of going to the bathroom by himself because he just knew that this is this monster that was going to get him or going to suck him up in the toilet. I don't know. But he hated going to the bathroom by himself. So I was like, okay, well, I created this poem for him. And then my one-year-old, who is in the process of potty training, he loves it too because it's encouraging him to potty and he wants to go potty. Aww. So I love writing functional social skill books, and I like having fun. And as an author, this allows me to be able to really just get all my creative juices out and write stories for kids, and my stories that my boys love, but that other kids will love too.
Well, it's in the cart.
I absolutely love that. Yeah, I love that. So thank you so much for being on the show.
I'm
about to just put all your links and stuff out there. If you want to check out some of Lucretia's books, she is at DM_Whitaker_writes on Instagram. And her website is
Hershey Mommy Chronicles.
There we go.
Hershey like Mommy chocolate.
Chronicles. I was like, it's not a she. There's a Y there. Hershey Mommy Chronicles. And she has like her kids are on here. I'm looking at this now. And they are adorable. Your boys are
too cute.
I'm definitely going to get this book though. Like, I'm actually on Amazon right now.
I was gonna say, me too.
Thank you, ladies. I appreciate
it. As we're talking, I'm like, no, I'm getting this dinosaur book because Stokely loves dinosaurs. So
Brendan loves everything. He ain't specific to dinosaurs, but he likes a good story. And so he roars like a dinosaur. He likes that part.
And it's
he
in there. About
he wants to run around dinosaurs like a dinosaur right now. And I don't know why he's so into dinosaurs, but
he might be a paleontologist. I was too.
He might.
I wanted to be a paleontologist when I was a child.
The fact that he knows like these 3-4 syllable word dinosaurs is he was a little sideshow yesterday at my in-law's house because the family was over and they had these little toy dinosaurs and he's just naming all of them and all the adults are like, wow. Like, and he's like, well, what does this one do? Oh, that one flies. This one just walks and this one does that. And I was like, oh, okay. Like you know everything.
This got me spending all my money. Lakeshore Learning, they have like a 5-pack of like, they're like huge, this size dinosaurs. So he just has them all lined up and he just bam, 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 bam.
See?
Well, your dinosaur book might not be available right now because it said there was only one left and I literally just bought it. So, but thank you so much for being on the show. We would like to hear, of course, from you guys about, one, if you figured out what your kids' learning style is and how you did that. And I'm going to put the website, you said it was homeschool.com, that has this learning style quiz. I'm going to put that in the show notes as well. So if you want to do that for your own kid or yourself, because we probably need to learn what our own learning styles are, I'll put that in the show notes. But we would love to learn about you and your family and your kids. If you know what your kids' learning style is, you can always join the conversation that we're sure is happening on Instagram right now. It's at Swirl and Sip Podcast. Or you can email us at hello@swirlandsippodcast.com. Make sure that you rate, review, subscribe to the show. But the rating and reviewing is the important part because it helps other people find the show and it helps them hear awesome conversations like this where we get to learn so much, not only about teaching our kids, but about random knowledge like Nebraska and about how deers have fuzzy antlers. That means that they're teenagers. We're all sorts of fun knowledge over here, you guys. we got all of it. You can also, if you want to be a part of our Sip Squad, you can join at patreon.com/swirlandsippodcast for as little as $3 a month, which is just a cup of coffee, you guys. You get to help pay our podcast editor, Rajesh. He really appreciates it. And you get a whole bunch of perks. You get like a drink recipe in your inbox every month. You get coupons to our Swirl and Sip shop. That is a tongue twister.
You get some of our behind the scenes craziness.
We do things like Vino Corners where we have extended talk about the wines that we drink. So you get a whole bunch of good stuff like that when you join our Sip Squad. Again, it's patreon.com/swirlandsippodcast. I feel like that's everything. Yep. Okay. Sheree's nodding her head. Yeah. So, because I just.
Sasha does this. Y'all know that Sasha does the spiel, and every once in a while she's like, it's like autopilot. So she's like.
Because I don't be really hearing it when I say it. I'm just spitting it out. So
that's it. That's everything.
That brings me then to, of course, how we close out the show. Make sure that you have your wine glasses ready for next week's episode.
Bye.